Yeah. Oh, it is a good place to be. Amen. What? All right, Joe, I'm going to preach. So turn the book of Acts with me tonight. Where? Oh, go ahead, sister. Praise him. Yeah.
And he wanted me to record him.
Oh,
and he was talking to great grandma Tina in heaven. And we had the most wonderful conversation about what heaven was like.
Yeah.
And then we
sing
this song. And it was just wonderful.
Praise the Lord.
For you all to understand heaven. So
yeah.
And I just praise God for his knowledge.
Bless you, Miss Susan.
And for my mom always being here and being in heaven now.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Got your Bible, turn to Acts 4, down in verse number 36 and 37. We'll have you stand in just a minute. I'm not a NASCAR fan. Y'all hear me? I don't know a thing about it. But I did tune in for the first of it today. I did. I like watching that beast be the pace car around that thing. You see it, didn't it? That was the beast. 22,000 pounds, 8-inch thick steel, taking our press in the rain. I'm proud of him. I know some of you might not be, but I am. He's done more for our Christian faith than any president we've had in 20 years. And you mark it down. And a lot of people say, well, I don't like his tweets. I'm kind of entertained by them, actually. Amen. But I feel I feel all kind of patriotic today.
Yeah.
It was good. Well, I done made all you don't like him mad, but that's okay. Praise the Lord. Acts 4, stand with me.
Yeah,
I'm going to preach on something. I'll be honest with you, I done changed my message 4 times.
Bless you, preacher.
God, I finally brought in the one that I believe God wants me to preach.
Amen.
I'm not a blind preacher. I know when there's people need to be encouraged.
Amen, preacher.
And I know when people need to be encouragers.
Amen.
And I want to be that tonight.
Yes, sir.
And I want to talk about that tonight. That's on my mind tonight. I'll give you the title in just a moment. I want to introduce you to a man in the Bible. What I'm going to do this a little different than I'll use how I preach usually. Usually I'll take one passage. You know what I'll do. And I'll just examine that passage.
Yes, sir.
Do an exegesis of it, expository of it. But tonight I'm not. I'm going to do a character study. I'm going to study a person. Then I'm going to give you a title that goes along with what he is and who he was. So stay with me and look at verse number 36. I believe you'll get some help tonight. The Bible said, and Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas,
yeah,
which is being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. Our Father, help me to preach this with everything I've got tonight. There are people that need to be encouraged. And there's people here that need to become encouragers. And God help us tonight. And we'll praise you. And we'll honor you in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Now, be seated. I'll give you the title in a moment. I want to introduce you to a man that was embedded in the church membership, who was a part of the church, who was a Levite, and his name was Barnabas. He has a great name. It means something wonderful. His name meant son of consolation. Now, by the way, I'd rather have a house full of Barnabases than a house full of Pauls. Because if I had a house full of Pauls, I'd be intimidated while I was preaching. And if I had a house full of Simon Peters, I wouldn't even want to go to a business meeting. Somebody say amen. Now, let me go on with this. The word Barnabas means consolation. Let me give you a word that is connected to. Boy, this is going to get good real quick.
Amen, preacher.
How many's ever heard the word Paracletus? Raise your hand if you ever heard it. Say 1, 2, 3. Paracletus. Well, who is the Paracletus? The Holy Ghost of God. Son, I'm about ready to get happy. The word consolation and the word Paracletus are the same words. So Barnabas, his encouragement, his consolation was connected to the same thing that the Holy Ghost does in your life as being a covenant. And I say, if you ever really get saved and really get sold out and really get filled with the Holy Ghost, you will be an encouragement.
Amen, preacher. Yes, sir.
Amen, Pastor.
It literally means encouragement. And by the way, how many of you agree with me? There's a lot of discouragement in this world.
You're right, preacher.
Now, I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I'm in the last lap of my life. And I want you all to know, I'm going to be an encourager. I'm going to be a person who wants to help somebody. I want to be a son of consolation.
Yeah.
I want to be somebody that's able to help somebody when they're going through something hard.
Amen, preacher.
Amen. Here's what some people like. I'm just going to tell like it is. Here's what they are. They're water dousers. You get a little fire started, they'll make sure they throw it, get it out. Good preaching, Reverend. Hey, we got some fire started last week. It wasn't because of who preaching we had. He didn't even preach for 3 times out of 5 meetings. That's because the Holy Ghost came. That's because that God used it. Whew. Good preaching, Reverend. I want every one of y'all to know this. The devil's sole duty and sole what he wants to do with you as a believer, he wants to discourage you. And God's sole duty, what God wants to do for you more than anything else, he wants to encourage you. And I tell you how God encourages us. Now, I want you to know this. God plants in the church people that are encouragers.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Thank God for it. Hey, Baldy, I am going that way too. I had somebody call me the other day about you.
Oh my.
They said, who is that wild cat on the second row that gets happy every service? And I said, that's Joe Hughes. Yeah. You're an encourager. You help me.
Thank you, preacher.
I love you.
Amen.
Let me rub that little bald head. I love you. He's an encourager. He just likes to be happy. By the way, I'd rather see happy people than sad people. I'd rather have happiness and gladness any time than a bunch of stuff that's wicked.
You're right. Come on, preach on.
Don't worry, I'm coming.
Okay.
Amen. So let's do this. Here's what I want to preach on. The power of an encourager.
Amen. That's good.
Jeremy, I'm going to tell you what you are in the faith. I want you to know this. You are a Barnabas. You are an encourager.
Amen.
I get emails all the time and texts all the time saying, who is that big guy that wears the vest with the beard and he's bald headed? And I said, Jeremy, let me tell you, that guy encourages.
Amen.
Man, I can feel blue. When he starts leading a song, I get happy.
Amen.
Thank you.
Yes.
We don't need somebody to discourage. We need somebody to encourage.
Good preaching.
So here's what I want to do. I'm preaching on the power of an encourager. And my goal is this. To get all y'all to want to be an encourager. And those that need encourage, I want you to get encouraged. So let me give you 5 things. And what I'm going to do, and I want you to get your Bible and follow me. But I'm going to show you five characteristics of an encourager. Number one, look at Acts chapter 4. Number one, the Bible says that Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country, a Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it down at the apostles' feet. Number one, a encourager is a load lifter. I want to thank God for people in this church that lift the load in this church. Amen. That carry the load financially. That help this church. Now, I'm going to give you something here that I want to... If I don't say anything about this point other than this, you get this. There is a difference between ownership and stewardship. Hey, by the way, you don't own anything you got. You're not your own. But you are a steward. I'm going to tell you what. You're a steward of your time, your talent, and your treasure. This church wouldn't be almost debt free if it wasn't for some load lifters. Somebody help me preach. I'm talking about people that don't mind getting in their wallet and they don't cut their fingers doing it and want to help financially.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know what? There is a gift of giving. There is a gift. There are some people has enough faith to go way beyond their tithes and don't mind getting in their bankroll and giving what they can. But see, there's more than just a tithe gift I'm talking about. And even a faith promise gift. When I first come here, when I came here, I'm not embellishing this story. It's a truth. Straight out. I don't like embellished stories. I like being honest. I took a cut, half cut, to come down this church. I couldn't afford it. I could not live on what this church paid me. There wasn't a way. But I didn't care. See, there are a lot of people, all they are about money. Now, thank God this church is taking care of our staff, take care of me good. But I want to tell you, it wasn't always like that. They did the best they can, but the best they can was half of what I made when I came here. And all I asked the deacons, I said, can I preach out some? And they said, yeah, man, I know you can't make it on this. But I couldn't hold up preaching out every week. I had two men in that church. Two. One older gentleman and one young man who wasn't over 20. And here's what happened every Sunday. Every Sunday. The older man would come. And during the spring and summer, he would come with a bag of vegetables and some meat and put a $20 bill in my pocket every week. And that was impressive to me. It carried my load. But if that wasn't enough, there was a 20-year-old that just started working, gave me $30 a week in 1978, every week. And one time I told him, I said, man, I feel bad about this. And that old man looked at me and said, God told me to be an encourager to you. He was selfless.
Yes,
that man wasn't rich. He wasn't. Actually, he probably didn't make it as good as I did. But he loved me.
Amen.
Brought me groceries. Brought my kids honey buns. Come on now. Some of y'all might not shout over that, but I want you to know something. Thank God for people in the church that takes their membership seriously, that say, I want to help somebody lift their load.
Amen, preacher. Good preacher.
Preach
on now.
Amen.
Amen.
If I could just help you, get along. I'll do it. That touched my heart. I try to emulate that. When God tells me to give something to somebody, I don't mind sticking my finger in my pocket, Bill Bold, and handing them my money because I want to be a help. And a lot of people don't like to talk about money. But whether y'all like it or not, it takes money to produce a ministry like this.
Yeah, it does.
Can I tell you a funny story? This is funny. This is really funny. I heard it this week, so it's so funny, it's fresh. There's a pastor having another evangelist to his church and gave him a love offering. He said, well, I can't do what Taze Valley Baptist does because they got millions of dollars. That's what they said. And I started to get on my phone, call him and said, would you please tell me where they are? I want you to know I'm not embellishing. I say they got more money in their savings account than we do. Because I tell you what we do with ours. We put it in ministry. We help. Hey, folks, you can't support 168 missionaries and have a lot of money around. You can't give $365,000 to evangelism and food pantries and frontline addiction and homeless ministry. You can't do that and have a whole bunch of money on the side. But I know we ain't going to take nothing with us. We got to use what we got.
Amen. That's exactly right.
And just Liv Burns. He was a load lifter. Woo! Number two, let me hurry. Y'all got your Bibles? Will you run with me a little bit? Turn to Acts chapter 9. Isn't this good? Every time I get a little down, I think of those two men, and I get lifted up. Go to Acts chapter number 9, verse 23. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
Now, the story's about Apostle Paul. Paul got saved. Somebody say amen. Paul got saved.
Amen.
Now, here's what happened to Paul in verse 23. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. Now, he had a problem. His old buddies wanted to kill him. Hello. But their laying wait was known to Saul. And they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem. Now listen to this here. He got the mean crowd wanting to kill him. Then he went to the church crowd. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. So here it is. One crowd wanted to kill him, and one crowd scared to death of him. But, whoo! How many like Holy Ghost conjunctions? But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Number two, the power of an encourager. Not only is he a load lifter, he's a friend finder. I thank God that every Christian's not a meanie. If everybody was mean as some people, I don't know if I can make it. Quiet in here now. But I thank God that when I first got saved, listen to me, I was a little bit like Saul. When I came to church, Billy, you remember when I got saved? Listen to me, man. I wasn't real cultured. I had a pack of marbles and a polka dot shirt right here. Scared them people half to death. Come in there with a big afro. Oh, I'm not kidding. Y'all think I'm kidding? Big old afro. I didn't comb it. I had a fork like the brothers. And I forked it. And I come in that church. And I want you to, you know, I can read lips. I read one woman's lips sitting about, where are you up on? She said, who in God's name is that? But Billy invited me. Remember Billy? And I came that night and got saved.
Amen.
There was a man there that took me under his wing. His name was Jim Gano. Oh, Jimmy loved me. Jimmy loved me. And the pastor loved me. And I was rough around the edges, man. Listen to me. I lost 75% of my vocabulary when I got saved. I had to learn to talk again. I was a mess. But man, they were so patient with me. Man, they were. I mean, I went to youth meeting and they said, who was it that went up in the sycamore tree? And they asked me that question. Think that'd be easy. I said, I don't have a clue. That youth leader comes and said, don't worry about it, don't worry about it, don't worry about it. That's Zacchaeus. And they loved me. And they, you know, then people started caring about me. There's several of them become my friends. That's my friend today.
Amen.
Yes. They found me. They knew my background. An old bartender boy. They knew I was on the other side of the tracks when I got saved. But they didn't care.
Amen.
You know all they cared about? Is I hope we can get this boy into spiritual manhood, that he can do something for God.
Amen.
And then Marguerite finally found out she should love me. What a great vision. And I tell you what happened. I didn't know how to date good girls, okay, so I had to learn. All right. So I had some people in the church that brought me, let me come to their house every Sunday night and court. Now these people, y'all don't know what courting is, do you? No. Evan, you ought to know what it is. You do a lot of it. Okay. Where was I? But I want you to know something. Those people took me in. Even when I was probably a little scary to them, they took a chance on me.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw one of them up Pinch Baptist the other day.
Yes,
you know what she said to me? I didn't know on January 31st, 1973, that you'd be the giant for God that you are now.
Amen.
And she said, I am glad that me and my husband loved on you then. And he's dead, but I love you now. Now listen to me. We need friends that are positive influences, not negative influences. By the way, if you got a friend that's negative and all they do is talk about the church, talk about preacher, dump them. Because they ain't a real friend. You find somebody loves your preacher, loves the church, loves serving God, and loves you.
Amen, preacher. Good preacher.
I don't mean to hurry. I'm already past time. You ought to thank God. It's just people want to care for you. Amen. A friend finder. You're probably a whole lot like me. When you went to church, a lot of people didn't want to deal with you.
Still don't.
I do, buddy. I love you. Hey, there's some of them don't want to deal with me, but I'm glad there are some that are friend finders. By the way, our real friend loves at all times.
Yes.
Am I preaching? I know it's, dear God, Chad. Number three. Y'all liking this? Just turn over two chapters. Chapter 11. Acts chapter number 11. Go down to verse number 19. Now the Bible said, now they were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen travailed as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And great numbers believed and turned to the Lord. Somebody help me preach. Whew. Then the tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And guess who they sent? Barnabas. And who, when he came, saw the grace of God. Number three. Now here's the problem. We had Gentiles getting saved. Gentiles finding the grace of God. But the church of Jerusalem needed somebody to go to Antioch and make sure what happened there was real and build a bridge between those believers and the believers at Jerusalem. And I want to tell you what. Barnabas was a bridge builder. I'm talking about real Christianity. A person that discerned the grace of God. You know what? We got so many people. They're so judgmental. You know, they judge this guy because he runs with this guy. And judges this guy because he might not be exactly what they want him to be. I want to tell you something. Before you become critical of Christendom, you really need to understand. There's people that can bridge these people. Somebody say amen right there. A Gentile church needs to be bridged to a Jewish church. I'm glad. I'm glad for bridge builders. As some of y'all probably get mad at this, but I can't help it. You can go ahead and get glad as far as I'm concerned. But I'm going to tell you why. When I got saved, I didn't know as much. Y'all smarter than me. I went to an independent Baptist church. Okay. But back then, you didn't know no different. Okay? Especially country churches. And Chad, God told me to leave that church and go to a little church up in Rome County. I want you to know something. They worship like we worship. I didn't have a clue what they were. I was there a year and didn't know what they were. Now, eventually I had to pull out when I found out what they were. But I become the pastor. And I helped them bridge. They had a church split. I helped them bridge that church split. And loved on them. You know what happened? 2 weeks into my ministry there, a backslidden church member that split the church, and I didn't even know the church was split, burned it down. The chairman of the deacon board dropped dead of a heart attack when he saw the fire. And there had to be somebody to build a bridge. I went a year later and they took me to what is called a convention, which I ain't never been to one. When I saw it, I had enough Bible in me, I didn't agree with it. But I just went to church. I said, now listen, I'm not going to leave you high and dry, but I'm going to leave because I can't be in a convention with a woman preacher. Okay? Hello!
Yep,
by the way, God ain't calling no women to preach. But I'm going to tell you what they done. Every one of them in the church said, hold on, you ain't leaving. We'll pull out Sunday. So we announced a business meeting. We pulling out of the convention.
Amen.
They all voted 100% without a shot being fired. Now, I want to tell you, I'm probably going to have to quit here. I don't want to quit, but I'm going to. They needed me. Because when church burned down, I had to find a place to worship. also need to raise money for the new building, and I did both of those. But the day we voted, there's a man from the convention came. And he wasn't a bridge builder. He was a church destroyer. And he said, "You can't do that." He said, "Actually, you can, but you ain't going to succeed." And I said, "Jack, what do you think you're going to do to us?" Well, he said, "I'll tell you what I'm going to do to you." He brought up a deed to the church, which I had never saw. He read it, and it said this: if this church ever leaves the Southern Baptist or American Baptist conviction, it goes back to the landowner. Tell you what I've done. I was a man of integrity. I built a bridge and got him back into church. Then I moved on. I didn't cause a fuss. And I'll go back there and preach. Some people wouldn't like it because I go to preach. But I'll go back and help them every once in a while. They still believe the same thing they believed then. They're only in the convention because they can't get out. Somebody's got to be a bridge builder. Am I preaching?
Yep.
One last one. One last one. I'm done. Jeff, I got a reputation. Now, I want to tell you, there's some people you can't fix, okay? So don't be saying there's some people you can't fix. But Barnabas was on a missionary journey with Paul. You know him and Paul were together, right?
Yep.
On the first missionary journey, they had a boy with them called John Mark. Mm-hmm. John Mark got scared and timid and went home to mama. With me, right? You know the story? When they're getting ready to go to the second missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas, John Mark came back because Barnabas been dealing with him, said, "I want to go again." So here's what happened. Barnabas and Paul got in a big fight. It was sharp. They got in a fight. You might say, which one's right? I don't know. I'll leave that up to God. But Barnabas took John Mark. And he took a failure. And he became a failure fixer. Now, you cannot fix failures that don't want help.
Yeah, that's right.
But if you got a failure that wants help, we need somebody in the church that'll help fix them.
Amen.
Because, see, I've got a God who's a God of a second chance. Now, there's some people don't want fixed and won't be fixed, and I ain't going to fool with them. But if there's somebody there that's really sincerely repenting. Now, there's some people, they ain't repentant, they ain't right, they never apologize, they don't ever get anything right. You can't fix them. They're unfixable. But there are people that mess up that want fixed. But now listen to this. When Paul was getting ready to have his head cut off, Natalie, you know who he called for? Anybody in the church know who he called for? He called for Barnabas to bring John Mark. Because you know what he said? He's necessary to me. So here's what happened. Barnabas fixed him. Then the great man Paul saw that he was fixed and said, "You know what? I'm going to make up this boy. Bring him here. I need him here."
Amen.
That's the power of encouragement. You hear me out. We got a bunch of people goes up to that frontline addiction program. There ain't nobody wants them.
Hey, you're right, preacher.
But we want them.
Yes, sir.
Ain't nobody gonna let them join the church, but we want to let them join the church. You might be in this room tonight and feel like a failure. I want you to know you get right and repent. God will help you.
Amen.
Amen. I ain't gonna tell you to fix everybody. I'll say this. This hurts me to say it. There are some people that I have dusted my clothes off I will never hurt them. I'll always pray for them. I will love them. But I'm D-O-N-E. Because they won't get help and they don't want help and they never get right. Amen. But for those that want to get right, somebody got to be a failure fixer. Amen. I could see John Mark when he made his mistake come to Barnabas, say, "I'm sorry." By the way, you'll never be a good Christian until you're able to say you're sorry. "I'm sorry, Barnabas. I'm sorry, Paul." He had a heart. I can take anybody in that's sorry, but I can't deal with somebody that never apologizes. Good preaching, Reverend. Won't hurt them. I ain't going to get in their way, but I'm going to help somebody that wants help. A failure fixer. You ever failed? How many in this room's ever failed? Oh, look here, you're looking at a man's failed before. And I'm going to tell you what, I've had some friends when I failed. I actually have failed. I mean that. They didn't throw me away. No, they held my rope. They helped me. They knew I loved God. I know I'm preaching a while. There's the power of the encouragers. Somebody just says, "Hey, I'll give you a second chance. You want one? I'll give it to you." Somebody says, "Hey, I'll be your friend. I'll stick with you. I know you failed, Paul, but I'm going to take a shot at helping you." Let me ask you. Come on, we're among friends. Would you rather be an encourager than a discourager? Well, you're going through the biggest trial in your life, aren't you? I'm not a real good guy. I'm the best I can be. But I've tried to encourage you. I love you. I'm sticking with you. You can count on me. I love you too, Buster Brown. Amen. If you ever fail, you sure gonna want somebody to help you get fixed. Somebody show a little mercy to you. Go ahead, brother.
I failed. And when I woke up yesterday morning, until I went to bed last night, it still hurts. What I thought was the end of my life, I wouldn't trade it for the world today. God's made me a better man, a better Christian. Amen. I'm just thankful today what God's done for me.
Bless you, David.
What I thought was my worst day turned out to be my best day. I thank God today for allowing what happened to allow me to see who I really was. But I've been clean for 7 years, and I praise God for that.
Amen.
Glory.
Bless you, Dave.
Glory to God. Amen.
Bless you. Thank God.
Amen.
Amen.
He's been in my office. We loved on each other. I want to tell you, I thank God for you. See, there's a lot of folks, when they make a mistake, they don't get fixed. I love you, buddy. Hey, he said, "I got a child that's worried me to death. Don't give up on him. I got God can help him. I got friends that are a mess. Don't give up on them. Be a friend." You know what? A lot of us all do. This ain't no hard sermon tonight. Is it that? Hey, I'm not preaching hard. I'm pretty sweet tonight for a change. You didn't have to amen that. You know what? If you would rather be a discourager than or an encourager instead of a discourager. Why don't you come around the altar and say, God, I want to be what Barnabas was. And then if you're discouraged and you like for somebody to know it and you like for them to love on you, come around here so we can pray for you. But if you want to be an encourager, why don't you just stand and let God help you? Stand with me. Father, we need some encouragers. Some people say, I just want to be a person that God can count on. Lord, I'm going to pray. I'm going to do that. Lord, you help people now. Help them want to be an encouragement. And we'll praise and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.